Let's head back to, now, a man who's certainly been sounding lively down the line while he's been singing along in the background. You've not heard it at home, but I've been listening to it secretly, is Gary Schofield. I don't know what we can say about that game. I guess we built it up as we hoped it would be an exciting game. We hoped, you know, there'd be plenty of intensity. Huddersfield, you know, as much as we think their season's done, perhaps you could say, well, it's the last chance for them and for Wakefield. It's a time to secure their place in the top eight. But it seemed to be anything but that.
Rich, I've just been thinking here for the last 10 minutes now, how are we going to round this up about this game today? And I'm just looking at the two team sheets, right, and you've just, you know, summed it up a little bit there. When you looked at the two team sheets and the players on quality, they say, from Ryan Bailey, McGilfrey, Cudjoe, Wardle, Murphy, Brough and Ellis at the backs. And then you look at the Giants forward packing, Ripiero, Leamy, Mason, Roberts, Nkumatai, Michael Rollins. There's plenty of quality in that side. Then you look at the Wildcats, Jowett, Johnson, Lynn, Tupou and Bishop. Plenty of pace and quality from there, from the outside back, Jacob Miller and Liam Finn. And then the pack of forwards, Anderson, Ewerth, England, Kermit, Ashard and Seo. Yeah, and before the game was expecting two desperate teams, and there was purpose in this game from a point of view of the Giants. Still got that lingering hope of the top eight if they can manage to win the last six games, and the Wildcats to cement the 2 points to try and, you know, cement that top eight spot and take the pressure off. So we was expecting a pretty intense game, pretty enthusiastic, plenty of purpose in this game, because it had purpose for both teams. Now then, boy oh boy, has this been a load of rubbish. Absolute load of rubbish from two teams who, as I mentioned, purpose in the league fixture, purpose because to get the confidence going into the Challenge Cup quarterfinals, which is in 10 days' time, but there was no enthusiasm, no commitment, no authority from either side from there. And okay, yeah, Wakefield scored the only try of the game. They managed to win 10-2. And to sum it up, mate, just to sum it up, Rich, and if I was giving it any points out of 10, it would be 1 out of 10 because the players turned up. That's all I could give it, mate. And I apologise. What I will apologise to our listeners is, you know, from a point of view where we couldn't make it an exciting commentary, because we don't have spin at Radio Yorkshire, certainly in commentary, because we couldn't do it, because it was a dire game of rugby league. And when you looked at, certainly from a Giants performance, where you look at the inspiration and certainly the leadership, when you look at the halfbacks in Danny Prough, Jamie Ellis, there was nothing there. The shape, there was absolutely no leadership. And at times, and Wakefield were the same, at times they were playing like under eights, just one up rugby league, and as if the fixture didn't really matter. Well, it mattered certainly to both teams, but now Wakefield have got that 2 points, they've cemented their top eight, and they will be absolutely delighted. And I would imagine from Chris Chess, it'll be quite simple. A win's a win, we've got what we've come for.
Yeah, especially after the last 2 weeks where they conceded 90-odd points, and they were terrible last week against All Kingston Rovers, to come back and, as you say, a win is a win. And I saw an argument, someone was talking about the football last night and saying, well, England played well and blah, 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 and someone came back and said, sport's all about winning. And someone said, well, tell that to kids. Well, we're not talking about kids, we're talking about professional sports people, and the most important thing for both teams today was a win, and Wakefield got that. And yes, it might have been scrappy. I mean, what were conditions like out there? I know people who, you know, it's not as if it's been played in a mud bath or torrential rain, was
no,
it?
Exactly, Richie. No, there's a little bit of rain before the game, but when the players came out, the rain had stopped. There's nothing, there's no puddles about, there's no wind. And there's just absolutely no reason. As I said, before the game kicked off, when we read the two teams out, two team sheets out, the quality of what was out there for the dire game of rugby league we have seen from two teams, you know, two full-time professional rugby league teams who we're in the entertainment business. And I tell you what, if this is what we are going to, you know, look to see in future years to come, I'll tell you what, we won't have anybody watching it. It's as simple as that. And I was speaking to Steve Muscat before, and he was on about the NRL and the dieness of that. Well, I can reassure you, if this is what we're going to supplement over the next few years, and, you know, just no frills rugby league, nobody will be watching it. Because what I've seen this weekend, and as you mentioned, and as I've said, I was at Leeds on Friday night. For the last 20 minutes, I could get away from it. I'll tell you what, after this game, mate, after the first 20 minutes, I could have got away from this. I would have done, because it was just absolutely poor quality rugby league. And And I don't put spin on things, and I won't put spin on things, because that's not how we work here. And I say, I can only apologise to our listeners for the dire commentary, because unfortunately, that's what the game gives us, Richie. That's what the game gives us.
I don't want to give the comments too much publicity of Eddie Jones, but that kind of played into his hands. If he could have been watching that game via satellite over in Brisbane, I'm sure he would have loved that game too.
Oh, I tell you what, Rich.
Plenty of goal kicking for him to watch.
Would he have ever? And I tell you what, he'd have been pointing the finger at me saying, Scoey, I told you, this game of rugby league's no skill in it, and it's boring, overdo his bar each other. And you know what, Rich? I couldn't have been able to make a debate about it, because he would have been absolutely right.
I expect our invite to Twickenham is lost somewhere in the post, I guess.
I don't think he'll take it to heart. As I said to Mark Wilson and the people at Talksport yesterday, you know, maybe it was said tongue in cheek, but I'd say, you know, they did okay yesterday. But if he'd have watched this game yesterday, quite clearly, I could not have defended rugby league. It's as simple as that.
Well, I look at the league table. Obviously, Huddersfield and Leeds remain bottom on 8 points. I mean, we already knew that mathematically, yes, they could still get out of there, because there's enough points up for grabs, but it's not going to happen with the way fixtures are going to fall. And I guess after the last couple of weeks, the happy of the two coaches of Paul Anderson and Brian McDermott must be Brian McDermott, because although it sounded another scrappy game on Friday. Well, you tell me, you left with 20 minutes to go. How bad was it? Was it worse than this one?
On the par with it, yeah, without a doubt. And I'd say, you know, full-time professional rugby league players. And all right, the conditions at Leeds on Friday night might have been a little bit worse from the rain, but, you know, the way they were dropping the ball, as I mentioned here this afternoon, the ball's in the breadbasket. You don't expect professional rugby league players, a full-time professional rugby league, to be making the mistakes what they did. But, yeah, a win's a win. And I say, from that performance from Salford or Leeds, I can't pick any player who was outstanding, who was a leader and who was inspiration, because it was simple. That was rubbish as well. It is. It was, Rich. And people say, well, at times, Scoey, you know, you get a little bit harsh about it. But, Richie, I can't. I'm not being harsh. And when I'm speaking to supporters, there were supporters, you know, in the bar where I was 20 minutes, and they were just literally saying exactly the same. So we all can't be wrong, Richie, can we? No. We all cannot be wrong. And even at the press room here at half-time, everybody's here to see exactly what we're saying live here on Radio Yorkshire in our comments here. And quite simply, it was absolute dire, and Friday night was the same as well.
Well, I didn't. Obviously, I wasn't there on Friday night, but I was at Leeds the week before against the Catalans, and I thought they were much better in defence than they have been all season. Obviously, that's one of their problems, and obviously that was borne out again by keeping the scoreless for Salford on Friday. But there's still plenty of work to do going forward for the Rhinos.
Oh, plenty of work, yeah, plenty of work to do. And I say one thing, what I've said this year about the Rhinos is that they've had no leadership, and what I saw there on Friday night, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it one little bit. And, you know, as Mark Wilson said a few times this season regarding Rhinos, now it's talking about the recruitment, what Leeds need to do. They need to bring in a player who's going to be that leader, who's going to be maybe the new captain, because, you know, as much as what, you know, Danny Maguire has been a great player for Leeds, and, you know, still is that quality player, whether he's the captain and that leader, what Leeds are sadly lacking is open to question, I guess, is open to debate. So that will be one aspect that I'm sure at the end of the season when they do the remit and look at what's gone this season, leadership is going to be top of their agenda.
Well, we are at that time of the season now where, you know, we're starting to hear which players are going where for next season. You'd expect with the season Leeds have had, it would be a good boost to the supporters more than anything to get some names out there.
It would indeed. There's no doubt about that. But as we all know, Gary Errington himself, he always keeps things pretty close to the chest until anything's done and dusted and ready to be announced. Then he keeps it there. But, you know, they need to, certainly from a recruitment point of view, get it right for next season, because, you know, the league table doesn't tell lies. They've been the worst team in Super League this year.
You mentioned in the League Express perhaps some coaches moving on, and I think people may have misconstrued what you said. They've probably just read the headline and not actually read the story, in so much as it's not that you're saying that Anderson, McDermott Cunningham are bad coaches, but sometimes after a while you need a change of voice telling you what to do.
Absolutely, yeah, that's, you know, that's a headline. Headlines do make do seem to make the story, but there's no way, mate, I'm saying that McDermott and Cunningham and Anderson should be sacked, but they will be big meetings for them three coaches at the end of this season, you know, and to say, well, where can this team be taken? And players do get fed up with the same faces. Players do get fed up with the same voices, and I'm sure if things are going to happen, then it will be amicable. You know, we Harrington and Brian McDermott, as we say here, with Ken Davey and Paul Anderson. But one coach, and certainly out of the three we mentioned, it will be Kieran. And Matt Horton just mentioned to me before the game is that Eamon McManus, when a St Helens coach has lost five games on the trot, unfortunately, he's got the sack. And as I mentioned last week, certainly in the piece, Eamon McManus, he will do what's the best for St Helens. We all know that Kieran is an absolute legend at St Helens from a player's point of view. It's not happening for him as a coach. And I say McManus, he will do whatever's the best for St Helens. But no, as I mentioned, I'm not asking for anybody to be sacked. I don't want any coach to lose a job, certainly during the season, but they will be serious, serious meetings at these clubs regarding the position of the head coach. And all you have to do is look at the league tables, isn't it?
And that's certainly two, three big clubs there with, you know, an opportunity for many great up-and-coming coaches to take on. It's going to be an interesting off-season this year, because I think we're seeing, well, you look at the top four, yes, Wigan are there as they always tend to be, and Warrington are there from the last few years as well, but Hull haven't been there for a while. The Catalans, it's their first run for a while, and we're seeing almost a changing in the guard, although, I guess, I don't know, will Huddersfield and Leeds be back next year? Is this just a blip of a season, I guess, remains to be seen?
Well, it remains to be seen, doesn't it? And but what I've seen, well, certainly with this Huddersfield side, they're a mile off, they're a mile away, and I say with Leeds again, with them from this season, they're a mile off. And what I'm seeing at this moment in time, I can't see them being a top four side unless the recruitment is sheer quality. So, and I say it all, great what Hull are doing, the Catalans, they've got that consistency in their play, they've sorted the problems away from home. And I say, we knew Warren to be there and thereabouts, and Wigan as well. So, but, you know, we were speaking just before he is today. When you look at the top four, that's all cemented now. And when we get to the top eight, well, that's going to be finished as well, because the two teams are going to be, the four teams are going to be so far ahead of everybody. So, you know, we're going to be maybe getting, you know, some games that realistically don't mean anything. And we don't want that, Richie, do we? We just don't want that.
No. The insinuation, perhaps, in years past, where Leeds knew exactly what to do to win championships and grand finals or whatever, and perhaps that's a tag we can apply to Wigan this season. We say it every week about how they're scratching out results and whatever, but last week they ground out the win against Salford. This week they were behind against Hull Kingston Rovers, and well, there they go again, another win for them, and the third in the table, and you just can't rule them out.
No, you can't rule them out, and same for Hull as well, because, you know, Hull a couple of seasons ago, and maybe last year, you know, they wouldn't be holding on to games like they are doing, they're finding a way to win, and that's exactly what both clubs are doing. And as I've said a few times now this season, Richie, Sean Wayne will be the happiest of coaches, because Sean at this moment in time believes Wigan only playing to 4 or 5 out of 10 to their best and to their ability. So there's still plenty more to come from Wigan. You know, the grinded out wins, they will play for the full 80 minutes, exactly like the black and whites are doing now. And it's good to see that. We've got a couple of different sides up there, Catalans and the black and whites. And as I've said before this season, I reckon we will have a different name on the grand final tour for this year.
We're not going to say who, though, because we haven't got a clue this year.
I'm going for Hull, Richie. I'm going for Hull.
I'll go back to Thursday, Castleman and Widnes, and again, I guess that's the end of Castleman's top four hopes. Again, mathematically it's not, but it's going to be difficult for them to overtake the top four at the moment.
Very difficult, and, you know, Dallow was very, very disappointed after the game, and rightly so, because this would have been one fixture where they would have penciled in for the 2 points and try and keep the pressure on that top four. But, again, as Dallow said, throughout this season, you know, it's all about consistency and playing at a level of a performance where, you know, we want to go on a 5-6-7 winning game run, and unfortunately, they don't have the players who could do that. But let's take nothing away from Widnes. You know, they were outstanding, you know, certainly for the first first 20 minutes in the first half, and certainly for 20 minutes in the second half, where they took the game away from Castleford. Okay, Cass came into the game for the last 10 minutes with the tries what they scored, but no, winless overall for the full 18 minutes. Fully deserved that 2 points, and I was delighted for Dennis Betts as well. He's been under a little bit the cost himself, because we know with the start what they had, and then not winning a game in 9 games. So delighted for Dennis, but yeah, the big head scratch for Dallal is when we look as though we're getting to where we want to be, they let themselves down again.
And is our new boss coming to the? Well, I understand he was there today, wasn't he, Mr. Bennett?
I've been led to believe, and if he's been watching all of Super League this weekend, I'll tell you what, Richard, right, I'll tell you what, if he's been watching all the games on Super League this weekend, and if he's taken the DVDs on that long flight back to Australia, I'll tell you what, he will sleep for 23 hours, because he'll just totally send him to sleep. So, no, it's not been the most classic of rugby league games this week for Mr. Wayne Bennett to assess, but I'm sure he's had some, you know, team meetings or team gatherings with the players who are looking for his squad come the Four Nations, and I don't think he'd be too bothered for what he's seen this weekend.
No one would have been, no players standing out today impressing him, perhaps?
Not a chance. Move on.
Well, he's going to have to pick someone.
Oh, he is. I'll tell you what, because, as I said in commentary, because the way Johnson's been going this year, you know, look how he played England shirt and that matchup between him and McGilfry, but the game itself, it just didn't turn out to be that when you look at it, matchups there. But they would be all of the two players, I would imagine. Okay, could you? But for mine, he's not international class anymore. So he would have been looking at McGilfry and Tom Johnson, but he wouldn't have learned anything more for what these two players are. And yeah, I know Danny Brough got the man of the match for the Giants, to be honest with Richie. I wonder if it was his mum and dad or his wife who was picking the man of the match, because it wasn't one of Danny's best games. McGilfy, for mine, was the Giants' best player, and yeah, it just didn't happen between him and Tom Johnson for Wayne Bennett to learn any more.
Well, we'll see who he picks come the autumn when those Four Nations. And you mentioned it in commentary as well. You hope that England play with a bit more joie de vivre, if you will, than the...
What does that mean, Rich? What does that mean?
Excitement.
Right, that'll do then. Thank you very much. I'll learn something every day.
Not one-man rugby. Not what we can see sometimes.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, as I say, what we saw in that test match between Australia and New Zealand, what's that now, around about 6 weeks ago, and then we saw the first state of origin, you know, I just hope that we're not just going to be playing the win-out rugby league and everybody's gathering around the play of the ball area really, when we're playing, you know, playing our 6-6 when we've got the ball in hand. Let's play with a bit of excitement, as you said in French there, play with a little bit off the cuff and asking a few questions with ball in hand, and not get into this diet, whatever they say, that, you know, get into the arm wrestle and win the arm wrestle. Not a chance. Not for me.
People enjoyed that first State of Origin game. I thought it was a bit... I want to see some skill. You know, you've got this is supposedly the best rugby in the planet. Mm. You know, but,
well, it's a way...
As much as defence, you know, it's an important thing. We don't want every game to be 50 points apiece. But it was a bit... It didn't make me too excited.
No, if you want to watch a game that's just full of defence and full of defence, yeah, if you're that sort of person, then yeah, you could watch that for 24 hours a day. And as I was mentioning to Steve Muscat, and he said to me, you know, there's only now, certainly in the railway, if you're only a genius of a player who could break down defences. So I said, well, yeah, if you're a Jonathan Thurston, or if you're a Cameron Smith, or maybe a Greg Inglis, the coaches won't take that out of your game, because they know you could do something very, very special. So if you've only got three players who are allowed to express themselves like that, and then you've got the rest, which works out at 97%, where they're being coached, where you can't do this, you can't do that, you don't do this, you don't do that, then we are going to get a game which literally is boring, boring, boring. And we don't want that, because we're in the entertainment business. And I know myself from my point of view, with some coaches who I had, you know, to say, Scoy, you stop going for interceptions, you stop chipping over the top, you don't listen to them, because quite simply, if they take that away from your game, well, you're not going to be any sort of asset to your team, and also to the coach. So players at times, they've got to grow some crystals and say, no, I want to play, I'm going to play in a certain way, because if we don't, then we're not going to score any tries. It's as simple as that. They've got to give the onus on the players of what they've got. And, you know, I'm sure Mal Meninga, when he's coaching the Australian side now, he will be, you know, the three players I've just mentioned in Inglis and Thurston and Cameron Smith, whatever you see and whatever you see out there and go for, and if you believe it's on, well, you go for it. And I just hope that philosophy is going to be the same with our players at international level.
I'm just looking at the Super League table. Hull FC top. We've talked about Castleford and Widnes, and I guess, you know, Dennis Betchell will have an interesting week with Wayne Bennett this week, but Widnes, it looks like that result, much like Wakefield's today, may have secured their place in the top eight for this season. And unfortunately for Hull Kingston Rovers, that defeat against Wigan may have condemned them to a second straight season in the bottom four.
It is. I think there's a way we see that the top eight now, it's a top four, that's cemented, that's where that's going to stay. And then whoever finishes fifth, sixth, seventh and eighth, that's between them as well. So what you see now in the top eight, they're the eight teams that are going to play in the eight, and then the bottom four, they're staying there to play in the middle eight. It's as simple as that. There's not enough games left for the bottom four to get themselves out of the mess.
And now we have praised this team for the last couple of weeks, but again, we've got to give plenty of praise to the Batley Bulldogs. A big win for them away at Sheffield on Friday night. So going away from home as a semi-pro team, you know, players will have had to take time off work, I'm sure, for that. Sheffield are in a precarious position. They're only 2 points above the bottom two in the Championship, but for Batley, another big win. 3 points. 3 points was the gap between themselves and I know it is 3 points the gap between themselves and the Bradford Bulls in fifth, but Bradford have a game in hand. They play Oldham this midweek, but that game next Sunday, a big game for Batley away at Bradford, and that could be the one that decides who makes that top four.
It could indeed, yeah. And just to talk about Sheffield going full time, they're in a mess, aren't they? They're just quite simply in a mess, and it's not worked out for them. But yeah, great credit to Batley, and it's quite simple, you know. We were John Key, not just regarding the coaching point of view, but his man management. Just let your players go out there. If you've got the right attitude and you can play what you see, and that the players are enjoying what they're doing, yeah. Great from Batley Bulldogs, and long may it continue. But yeah, the big game next week, and that'll certainly cement whoever's going to make the top four in the Bulls or the Bulldogs.
I mean, we look at the Super League fixtures next weekend. Wakefield taking on Leeds on Friday night is our first commentary game of the weekend. Thursday it's Widnes versus Wigan, which probably won't be a great game to watch on TV, in fairness. I don't think I'll be rushing to watch that one. And then on Sunday we've got Castleford versus Hull, which you'd hope would be entertaining, but that could be the end of Castle's top four hopes and secure Hull. I think they're going to be a place in the top four, but certainly looking at that top spot, that league leader's shield, it'd be a while since they finished top of the pile.
Oh, would it ever. And as I say, let's not forget, the teams that are in that top four as well, Rich, you know, they all can still do the treble, you know. They all can still do the treble because they're also in the Challenge Cup, and you know, so they'll be thinking about that. But Hull going to Cass, and let's say it's desperate for Cass now. If they're looking anywhere near for that top four, for mine, that defeat to Widnes, that's just certainly put that to bed. And Hull, the confidence what they're playing with, they'll have a great following again. There was a fantastic following at Warrington on Friday night. They'll get a great following again down there at Weldon Road. And yeah, Hull, they'll be just looking to keep the momentum going, and then ready for the quarter final against the Catalans a week after.
Also on Friday, it's Warrington versus Catalans, Salford versus Huddersfield, and Hull KR travel to St Helens. Well, you mentioned that stat about Saints and losing runs and coaches. Well, Hull KR with nothing really to play for, but that could be a game which is a very dangerous one for St Helens.
Very dangerous game for St Helens, and you know, it depends on that fix. Who's going to be the most desperate team and wants the 2 points? And Hull KR are very, very desperate. They still think they'll have a slim chance of getting out of that bottom four and making the top eight. So whichever side, you know, with the right commitment and enthusiasm, they'll get the 2 points there with Saints and Hull Kingston Rovers.
Excellent stuff, Gary. We shall let you go and wake up and have a cup of coffee after that exciting game between Wakefield and Huddersfield. And you're back with us tomorrow night to talk over the weekend. Are you going to be able to stay awake for 2 hours? That's the main question.
Well, the big thing about when we sum up all the weekend's game, Richard, we're talking about excitement and exhilarating what we're looking for Super League every week, what we're hoping for. I would imagine it'll last for 5 minutes tomorrow night, because we've not really seen it. But I'm just a little bit worried here, because Mark Wilson said to me, Scoey, if you ever sing on radio again, then unfortunately you'll be getting your P45. I'll just apologise. Mark, it couldn't be helped, because if you was here, son, you would have totally understood why I was singing if you get to get a DVD of the Giants be the Wakefield Trinity Wildcats on this day, on the 12th of June, Sunday the 12th of June 2016. I'm not apologising for singing, because the game itself was very, very poor. Thanks, Richie, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Well then, Matt, you there?
Yes, I'm here. I thought Scoey's singing was alright, to be honest, Rich.
what did you make of everything today? The weekend.
It's not been the best advert for rugby league, has it? Thursday's game, maybe, you could say that. Widnes played well, and it was a thriller minute last 10 minutes with the Cass fight back. Warrington and Hull was just too much drop ball on Friday night. Scoey's probably said enough about Leeds to say that it was probably like it was here today. And today, it was just such a flat atmosphere inside the stadium today as well, which didn't help. It was a poor game, and the team that made the least errors ended up winning the game. And to be fair, Paul Anderson's made reference in the press conference that Danny Kerman might have been offside for the try as well. I've just spoken to Danny, you'll probably hear that one in a bit. And he said, no, it was close, but there's enough people out there to see it. And he's right, it's not really his problem to say if he was on or offside, was it?
Surely Matt as well. Surely Matt as well. He's got to, you know, talk about the enthusiasm and, you know, the purpose of his team's performance, hasn't he? Because it just wasn't there.
Yeah. He's mentioned that and said that they've obviously got a lot to work on, haven't they? They've got a short turnaround to Friday as well, haven't they, Huddersfield? And so have Wakefield. And Paul said that the kicking game wasn't good enough from his team today. They didn't put enough good kicks in. And he said the big difference was Wakefield's kicking game was a lot better than Huddersfield's kicking game. And you can see that now, because the number of goal line dropouts Wakefield forced in the second half was 4. So they've got that extra 4 sets, and they've built the pressure and built the pressure, and then the ultimate reward was the Danny Kerman try.
Yeah, but Matt, they've got the extra 4 sets, what, in the last 6 minutes of the game, so what about the other 74 minutes then?
Well, there was just too much one-out football, wasn't there, at times, and...
It was rubbish.
Yeah, it was rubbish. There's not a lot we can say to dress it up, Rich. It was rubbish here today.
As you were there on Friday, let me ask you, Warrington Hull, what did you make of that one? And Hull, are they the real deal, at least for this week?
Yes, they are the real deal. And they've been up there for a while, and they've got such a good pack of forwards. I mean, the big challenge on Friday was between Hill, Clark and Sims against Houghton, Watts and Taylor. And you've got to be honest, Watts, Houghton and Taylor just shaded it. Liam Watts was superb on Friday night for the Black and Whites and Snead. I mean, one person who didn't really show for Hull on Friday was Carlos Tuivasa-Mavavi. I thought he was really, really quiet on Friday, but Mark Snead stepped up to the plate for him. And, no, they're going to be there or thereabouts. They will probably win. Either they'll win one of the three trophies, Hull, now. I don't know which one it'll be, but it'll be one of them, and I know most Hull fans will want Wembley. Wembley's the big thing for Hull fans, but they'll pick one of the three up, I think, this season.
Yeah, it is, Matt, as well, but the top four at this moment in time, all three are still in all the competitions, and what about Hull doing the treble then? I'm touching on Hull tomorrow, the way they're going. It's all about Hull in my League Express column tomorrow, and just saying... You know, don't rule them out doing the treble. And one question was asking me, well, do you think they can handle the pressure? I think they'll enjoy the pressure, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the fans will enjoy the ride as well. They're such a well-supported club as well, Hull FC. I mean, to take over 1,000 speckies to Warrington on a Friday night at only 3 weeks' notice, because that game got changed late for the television. I mean, they're well-backed. They've got such a big pack. Frank Pritchard is a beast. He's an absolute monster, Frank Pritchard, and he's got a pair of hands to go with it. They've got Jamie Shaw, and I mean, a lot of Hull fans I know are calling for Jamie Shaw to play for England at fullback, and I hate to say it, but I don't think it will be him who's be at fullback for England, not while Sam Tompkins is still about. But they are a good unit, and you think Leon Price can't even catch this side at the moment now. Carlos Tuivasa-Mavavi's got that standoff jumper, and Leon Price isn't even catching now. And that just shows you how strong the squad is at Huddersfield. At Hull, sorry.
Well, you haven't seen Price at Magic Weekend. I wouldn't have picked him either after that performance.
But the game at Magic Weekend changed when Tuivasa-Mavavi went to 6 and Price went off. So there you go.
Exactly. Well, there you go. Matt, we shall let you go. I should say, was that the worst game of rugby you've seen all week? You don't have to say which was if it wasn't.
It was up there, yeah. It's definitely up there. I mean, Cass
Witness...
You've
seen plenty, you've seen lots of rugby, haven't you?
Cass Witness wasn't... Oh, no, it's not the worst game of rugby I've seen this weekend.
Rugby is the generic term.
There was three yesterday I saw down at the AJ Bell, which was... Well, one of them was pretty shocking. I tell you what, Rich, though, the best team I've seen in that competition so far is Argentina. They've been absolutely fantastic. They've been an absolute joy to watch.
Even fancy contracting Super League?
I don't know.
Get a Super League franchise in Argentina. Yeah, fancy that, Scurry, a trip to Argentina?
Yes, please. Yes, get me booked, Tom. Get me booked, Tom.
Buenos Aires Bulls.
Do you know what? Why aren't we trying to tap that market in Argentina now?
I don't know.
It sounds stupid because they've got some good blokes out there. And it's rugby leagues would appeal more to an Argentinian temperament than rugby union.
I tell you what, as well, guys, when you look at it, and I say with that other code, and I say they've got a world championship now under 20s, you could never ever see that happening in rugby league, could you?
No.
You could never ever see it.
Yeah. Can't even play the same rules to start with, can they?
Well, I mean, look at this currently going on in Papua New Guinea at the moment, it's the women's under 20s world football championships. So,
I tell you what, we're getting desperate here now, talking about women football world championship in Papua New Guinea, instead of talking about the field times.
Well,
in fairness, I think now, Richie, it's time to wrap up. It's time to wrap up. The car started, we're off.
I'm hoping they've not locked you into the stadium. Is that the rain I can hear on the roof?
It is, indeed.
I'll let you go and get dry.
There was at one point this afternoon when I made reference to one of the fullbacks having enough time to make a brew before taking a catch, and if it was going to happen again in the second half, I was going to actually say he's had enough time to phone a taxi for Scoy before catching that ball.
Well, you to enjoy the rest of your Sundays, and we shall speak to you again soon.
Cheers, Rich.
Cheers, Richie. Thank you.
Matt Horton and Gary Schofield there, live at Huddersfield, about to get wet.